in days that they call them Ben HaMetzarim. What does mean Ben HaMetzarim? The words Ben HaMetzarim originally originated in the book that's called the Book of Echa, the book that Yirmiyah HaNavi was expressing his sorrow and grief about the destruction of the temple, what they call it lamentation. He was crying and wrote special poems. He was a very, very poetic man, and he wrote this book, Echa, with prophecy. There are a number of chapters in it, and the chapters, most of them, go in alphabetical order. Each phrase begins with one letter of the alphabet. Echa, that's Aleph at the beginning. Then there is Bachot, Bet at the beginning. Gimal, Galeta Yehuda Me'onim, Gimal. Every sentence begins with one letter of the alphabet. One chapter, there's triple Aleph, triple Bet, triple Gimal. If you have 22 letters in the alphabet, there is 3 times 22, 66 phrases there is in that chapter. Except one chapter, the last one, it's not alphabetical order. When was Yirmiyah HaNavi? You know, the Jewish people, after they came out of Egypt, they lasted 40 years in the desert, then they entered the land of Israel. As they entered the land of Israel, they had to fight in order to conquer the land, because the enemies hated the Jewish people. They didn't want them to come in. They did not let them. And the Jewish people had to fight their way through. And there was war. The war lasted 7 years in order to capture the whole land. After 7 years, took another 7 years to measure and divide the land to the tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes. Each tribe took a share for himself. They divided the land. After they took and divided the land, Yeshua was the leader, student of Moshe. He was the leader at that time because Moshe did not enter Israel. Moshe died well in the desert before they entered Israel. The story is in the Torah. We were told Moshe hit the rock and said, God told him he will not enter Israel. Yeshua, the student of Moshe, he led the Jewish people. He led them for all these 14 years, and then he died. The leadership went to the elderly men that they were in the time of Yeshua. He studied from him. He learned with him. They became the leaders. After these elderly people passed away, there came a new era of the judges, they called them. People who became prophets, became leaders, and they were saving the Jewish people from troubles, but the Jews started having troubles over there. God told them to destroy all the people who lived there in that land, and they did not. They left them, they had a pity on them, and God said, you have a pity, you will see what will happen to you. They started worshipping idols, and they were teaching many of the young people of the Israelis to do like them. From this anger, Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, and he was punishing them through those people. And those people wanted to bother the Jewish people. And that's what happened. Every time bother, and then they came, they cried, they prayed to Hashem, he sent them a leader. Who were the leaders? The leaders of the judges started from the very beginning, after Yeshua. There was somebody, Otniel ben Kenaz, the nephew of Caleb. After Otniel ben Kenaz lasted one leader after another until came the last leader of the judges, was a man by the name Shmuel. Shmuel was a very great leader. He succeeded to unite all the Jewish people again, to stop all wrongdoing, and he conquered the enemy, and his time was one of the very, very good time for the Jewish people. One thing went wrong. What went wrong? That the Jewish people asked, they want a king. Shmuel was very annoyed. By right, the Jewish people are supposed to have a king, but they asked the king in the wrong way. They asked for a king to lead them just like the rest of the nations, which means to accumulate wealth, to have a strong army, to fight with power, with strength, instead of believing in Hashem and putting their trust in God. So we want to be like all other nations. Oh, that's a bad thing. Shmuel got mad at them. And Shmuel made a number of miracles in front of them. They realized that their request was wrong. They felt bad. However, Shmuel gave them a little musar, ethical lecture. And he told them, okay, you ask for a king, doesn't matter. You will get a king. Oh, well, request from Hashem that will give you a king. And God will give you. But remember, what are the laws of the kingdom? He started telling them what the laws. A king has the right to confiscate wealth of people, to take it for the benefit of the nation. And so he started telling them all about what is the duty of a king. And he told them, if the king will be the one that will rule you properly, and you will listen to him, you will be led properly, then you will succeed. And you shall last long with him. If not, you know what will happen. The king will be lost, you the people will be lost, into the hand of the enemies. Sure enough, they appointed a king. Who was the king? They didn't know whom. Now every tribe will tell you, take from me the king. We'll start disagreement and dispute. Every family would say, we want to have the king from us. What did he do? He asked in the Urim Betumim. What's Urim Betumim? It was a garment that a Kohen, the high priest, was wearing, and it, they placed in the stones, very, very precious stones, different colors, and letters are carved in them. Whenever they wanted to ask questions from God, the king comes to the high priest, he asks him, please refer this question to God. And the Kohen would ask from God, they see the answers in those letters. He used to flush. Here comes, shall we go to war? Yes. Yes, Y-E-S. It comes flushing the letters. Yes. That's how they knew. An answer, they got an answer to that question. They told him, ask from God who shall be, which tribe who shall pick up the king. No, Benjamin. Came the tribe of Benjamin. From Benjamin, which family? Family of Kish. And the third of which child of this kings came Shaul. This was the youngest tribe. One that was lived simply, but was a great tzaddik. Hashem said, Shaul will become the king. Shaul went, he hid himself away. He didn't think he deserves it. Mm-hmm. That is the man that doesn't think he deserves it. This is the one who deserves it. He was a very modest, humble man. And himself, they went to look for him. They found him hiding himself somewhere. They brought him. They appointed him a king. Some people said, what? This one will rule us. The youngest family from the youngest tribe, Binyamin is another. What's wrong with us? The other Rav said, oh, Ben Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun. For all the older and the more important, they are away. Shmuel got mad when the Parashim Shimon said no. We will not. Today is not the day for punishing anybody. Sure enough, right away, an enemy came to attack the Jewish people. Shaul, right away, he showed himself as a leader. Went, he gathered an army, and he went to fight. He managed the war, and he was victorious, and he came back. Oh, the people who said, who is Shaul? Now they guided him and said, no, no, we want Shaul, our king. Then he made a new celebration for the king. And he, after that, Shaul lasted. He made certain mistakes, especially one mistake. And God said there is a nation called Amalek. Amalek was a grandson of Esav. And he became head of a very large group of people that became to be called the nation of Amalek, or of Esav, his descendant from Esav. And this Amalek came to fight the Jewish people. And God ordered, told Shmuel, go tell Shaul, that he must destroy the people of Amalek, all of them, not to leave any one of them. And not only them, all their animals, everything. To destroy their cities, to leave no memory for those people. Shaul went, he managed the battle, he succeeded, he won the war, but the king was captured. And he was brought. Many animals were captured from the hand of the enemies. People started taking animals, slaughtering, eating. God said to destroy everything. And Shaul, well, he tolerated what the people did. He didn't show, he didn't prove to be the leader that God expected from him. And right away, God appeared to Shmuel, he told him, you see, Shaul did wrong. I warned him, if the king won't do right, something will happen. Shmuel was very mad. Yeah, he already saw prophecy that Shaul didn't do it. He went out, and Shaul came to Shmuel and said, oh, welcome, our leader, he told Shmuel. I have fulfilled the order that you gave me from God to go and to fight Amalek. Oh yeah, Shmuel told him. Look, I hear the animals mooing over there. Mm-hmm. The lambs and everything moo. You know, what is this sound that I hear? So, this is the people had a pity. Why to destroy all these animals? And they brought the king also. They captured him. Shmuel got very annoyed. He said, you say the ones that brought the animals had a pity and they want to offer sacrifices. God wants your sacrifices. God wants to listen to him instead of not listening and bringing a sacrifice. And he got very annoyed, Shmuel. Bring that king over here. Shmuel himself killed the king of Amalek. And then Shaul wanted to go to be welcomed by the people, including Shmuel. Shmuel turned his back to the door, and he pulled Shmuel from his garment. The garment tore, and Shmuel said, the way you see this garment tore, your kingdom will be torn, and God will give the kingdom to a better king than you are. Ooh. At that time, Shaul became very, very sick. All the time in his mind was, somebody is going to take the kingdom away from me. Mm-hmm. That somebody must be, will try to kill me, take the kingdom. That means he had some kind of imagination. Someone is going to kill him any day. I didn't know who. And well, he lived with fear. And all of a sudden came a very, very giant man. from the Philistine, a different nation. They wanted to fight Israel, but then this giant came and said, it was the calling on the Jewish people. Why do you want many people to fight and many people will die from both sides? There's only two of us. One of your people will represent your nation, and I will represent my nation, and we will fight. Whoever will win, that means that nation is a winner. And he was day after day, calling on them and insulting the Jewish people, abusing them, speaking against God. He spoke, no one. The King Shaul promised anyone who will fight this man and will take care of him, I will make him a very, very great man among my kingdom. He will be next to me. He will be my son-in-law. I'll give him my daughter. And which means it will lead him to become, who knows, to replace the king one day. Sure enough, who heard about him? There was a man by the name David. David had brothers in the army. They didn't hear from them. David was at that time a shepherd. He was the youngest boy in his family. He had seven more brothers. And Yishai, the father, left him with him to take care of the flocks, the animals, while seven other boys went to fight. Then Yishai was worried. They didn't hear from his children for a while. He called David. He said, David, you want to go? I want to send you to your brother. Take some gifts with you, certain food, and give your brother to go see how do they feel. Bring me the news, what condition they are. But meantime, take also some gift to whom? To the commander-in-chief in the army. Give him those gifts. He said, okay. He went there in the army. He was hearing. He sees that giant comes, insulting the Jewish people and something, abusing the name of Hashem. And all the people listening, nobody is daring to say, I'll volunteer to go to fight him. They say, who is that dog over there barking like this? And then, oh, you didn't hear? Just came to fight the Jewish people, look what he's saying. And the king promised whoever will kill him, he will make him his son-in-law, give him a very high position. And then he was saying all this. They said, who is he? If I will have the opportunity, I'll go take care of him. His brother, his older brother, Eliyahu, heard about it. He started yelling at him, you, David, how dare you? Our father sent you here, you want to come to fight this giant? Who are you to fight? Then David, slinking away from his brother, still he told the people, the message went to the king. One young man, bring him here. They brought him and said, young man, do you want to volunteer to go? Sure, who is there? We have the power of God with us. Take care of him. Then he said, how would you go to fight if you want to fight? I promise some reward for person, but if you want to go to fight, you need a garment, armament. So those days, we wore armament. That giant has such an armament from copper, all his body being covered with. He said, please take my armament. But Shaul was a very tall man. David was shorter. He said, no, he said, the tidy. The garment that was fitting, fit to Shaul, came fitting exactly by miracle. Uh-huh. Shaul realized that God is making a miracle, that the garment comes to his size. Must be something. Then David started walking. I can't. Took it off and said, I never tried to be with such a garment. This is very heavy for me, I can't take it. He likes to be light like he is as a shepherd. And he used to have a slingshot to use it for birds, for others. He said, no, I'll go with my weapons. David went with a stick in his hand. the way the custom with the animals. And they turned the, with him a slingshot, some rocks, that would be. He took this, David went, all of a sudden, Goliath on one side, David on one side, then he answered him back. He was, again, abusing the Jewish people. He answered him back. David said, who are you? What do you think? You come to fight with a dog? You bring a stick here? He said, no, I'm coming by the power of God. Then the government was covering him, all his body. The only thing was open a little for his eyes to look. That is, the government goes like this, but he'll be able to see with his eyes. David took slingshot with five little rocks over there. Here it goes. Straight, he aimed it to his eyes and went straight to his forehead. At that time, went through his head and Goliath fell down. He fell down. David ran there. He took his sword. He cut his head. He brought it. Who knows when? He started the army running after the other army that was running away.
Right.
So the leader died. He started running away. And this, he brought it, of course. David, after all this, at the end, came a lot of troubles between them. So we started thinking, this sickness, this is the man that's going into the field. Because the girls started singing, Shaul killed thousands, David killed tens of thousands, gave him greater praise. The jealousy came and imagination that was in his mind. He got sick mentally to think, this is the one that Shmuel told me that will take the leadership on. And he tried, he wanted to kill David. The story of Shaul and David is very long. At the end, David became a king. Shaul died, David became a king. David, when he became a king, he wanted to build the Tamekdash. He knew that the Jewish people had a holy place where to go and serve God. What was the name? Mishkan. What's Mishkan? Was something movable. They take it from place to place, like a tent. They went wherever they wanted to serve, stationed, and they were serving God. God told them, when you come, you will settle on your land, you build a real house to serve God, which is Beit HaMikdash. David thought, this is the time that I should build Beit HaMikdash. And he tried to build Beit HaMikdash. As he was, went to sleep, and he said to himself, tomorrow with God's help, I will start this building of Beit HaMikdash. Hashem appeared to Matan and Navi. At that time was a prophet called Matan. And go tell David, he's not the one to build Beit HaMikdash. Still, the Jewish people are not settled, not rested. I don't want to rest before the Jewish people will rest. You are managing many, many wars yet with the enemies of Israel. It's not the time to put Beit HaMikdash. But I promised you that your son will be the king after you. He will build Beit HaMikdash. And David started preparing everything for the building of Beit HaMikdash. And he, at the time that he came about to pass away, he called on his son and he gave him his will. He told him exactly what he wants him to do. He said, everything is ready for you. He prepared the material, he prepared everything, he told him exactly where to build it. Told him, you shall build Beit HaMikdash. And I am very happy to see that God promised me that my son will build it. Okay. This is the time that Shlomo started building Beit HaMikdash. It was already 480 years after the Jewish people came out of Egypt. Now, that means almost 500 years now, Shlomo built Beit HaMikdash. Took him years to build it. That became the most beautiful building. And the Jewish people were serving Hashem over there in Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo became the wisest man on earth from the time that the world was created to now, till the end of days. no one would reach the wisdom of Shlomo, even though Moshe knew more because of his prophecy, but the wisdom, Shlomo came the greatest. Why? Because Hashem gave him this gift to become the wisest man. What happened that Hashem gave to Shlomo nobody else? Because when Shlomo was about to be a king, God appeared to him. He told him, ask for something that you want me to do for you, and I will do it for you. He could ask for wealth. He could ask for honor. He could ask for long life. He didn't ask for anything. He asked, oh God, in order to lead the Jewish people, I need wisdom. Please give me enough understanding to know how to judge the people. And God told him, since you didn't ask for anything else, only because you love justice and you wanted to do what's right, I'll give you this, and I'll give you other things also. I'll give you wealth, I'll give you honor, but one thing depends on you. Long life, it's up to you. If you do the right things, you'll have long life. If not, you will not. And we know that Shlomo did not last long. He lived only 52 years.
That's it?
Yeah. And he was 40 years a king. That means he started to be a king since he was 12 years of age. And he became the wisest man.
Unbelievable.
There was a reason why King Solomon. Now this Beit HaMikdash lasted during the time from Shlomo till the time of Tzidkiyahu, one king after another, and the kingdom later on was split between the Jewish people because they were divided into two groups against each other. There were two kingdoms of the Jewish people. They go into Judea and Israel. Now, Malchut Yehuda, Malchut Shomron, Malchut Israel. They were divided into two. 300 years later, the Malchut Israel, the people who were the second kingdom, they went to exile. An enemy came, took them all over. Was left only one kingdom, much smaller in size, I'll put you with that, Judea, which include Yerushalayim, and they were serving Hashem yet. And people started doing wrong, and the prophet used to come to rebuke them, to tell them, to correct themselves, one prophet after another. They did not listen, they did wrong. At the very end, Hashem brought an enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, and it destroyed Beit HaMikdash, and he took people in captivity. This is the time that the land of Israel was deserted, people ran away, was left 70 years without populations. Close to the end of the 70 years, different people came to live over there, to settle it. But 70 years after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, came a new kingdom in the world, the Babylonian, they lost to the Persian. The Persian gave right to the Jewish people to go back to their land and build Beit HaMikdash again. In the meantime, when Beit HaMikdash was destroyed the first time, when was it destroyed? Destroyed on the day of the 9th of month Av, Tisha B'Av. Number of things happened in Tisha B'Av. First of all, when Moshe sent the spies to the land of Israel, they came back and made all the people cry. When was that? In the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av. That's the first thing. Five different things happened in the history to the Jewish people on the day of Tisha B'Av. But five different things also happened on the day of Shiva Asar, Betamos. Yirmiyahu, who lived at the time of the destruction of the first temple, he witnessed the destruction. He was the one giving them the prophecy that Hashem will destroy it if they don't listen to Hashem. And as they were told about it, they didn't listen. He saw, he cried, and he wrote that book of Echad. That we call Lamentations. That's in the first temple. Later on, Beit HaMikdash was built again 70 years later and lasted for 420 years and again was destroyed, and again it was destroyed in Shabbat. But the first time before they captured and they destroyed Beit HaMikdash, they had to fight very bitter fight with the Jewish people, the enemy. They couldn't break through the walls of Yerushalayim. But later on, by some people betraying the Jewish people from the Jews themselves, they gave a chance to the enemy to come in. And they were able to break through the walls. That was in Shiv'ah Asar B'Tammuz, 17 of Tammuz. Like Saturday was the date, 17 of Tammuz. This one, they